Sextastic Tuesday on Distorted View.
Look at yourself. You heard me. Look at yourself. What do you see? Well, what you see doesn't matter. What matters is what I see. Understand me? What I see is a pathetic excuse for a husband, let alone a man. The only thing you're good for is being my maid and my toilet. Clean up all the cream from my pussy, little maid. If you're lucky, I'll let you drink up the piss from my hairy cunt and let you clean out my ass like the good little toilet slave that you are.
Beep.
My name is Jackie. I'm your switch around slut girl. When I was married, my ex-husband was a dominant man, and he used me as a play toy. He even went as far as fucking my juicy pussy with a really big wine cork till my pussy was red, raw, and very sore. Now that I'm single again, I still have to be a submissive slut, but I also like to switch roles. Go ahead, fuck me, beat me, and torture me. But beware, I will strap on my 9-inch dildo, and I'll fuck your mangina till I split your ass wide open.
Hey freaks, it's Tuesday, March 31st, 2015. Coming up on the program today, schizophrenic sex, worshipping at the altar of cock, stabbing over salsa, and I'll do anything for your money, even butt stuff. All of this plus your voicemails on an extended episode of DV.
Although Distorted View may be instant heaven, it tastes just like fresh perked honey.
Yes, Tim Henson, your switch around slut girl, back for the Tuesday edition of DV. Got a classic Sextastic Tuesday story. But before we get into that, yesterday I was telling you all about my television problems and having to purchase a new TV set. It is a very pricey endeavor for me. I'm still trying to pay off my medical bills from when my heart nearly exploded last year. So that's something. So I was trying to think of new ways to make money. Obviously, this podcast isn't going to cover the expenses. But I thought, well, maybe I could use my celebrity status and advertise to you guys, and maybe I could offer my services to you personally. Unfortunately, I am a college dropout. And my abilities are severely limited. But that did not stop me from producing a commercial. Take a listen. Hi, my name is Tim Henson, and in these uncertain economic times, I found myself searching for new income opportunities. Why not put me to work for you? I don't have many skills, and I'm not very talented. But after hosting a world-renowned podcast for over 10 years, I've learned a few things. One, it's hard to make a living hosting a world-renowned podcast. Two, banks will stop issuing you new credit cards if you max out your current cards and refuse to make payments. Three, I'm a pretty fantastic singer. Why not hire me for that? I don't know a lot of songs, except for Hoobastank. If you want me to sing a Hoobastank song, I'm your man. And so I have to say before I go that I just want you to know I found no reason for me to change who I used to be. A reason to start over new. Heard both of Hoobastank songs. Like, what'd you hear? That wasn't Hoobastank singing. That was me. Maybe you don't need any more music in your life. That's okay. I can do other things for you. I can pick your stocks. That's right. For 2 weeks, I've been playing on the stock market, and all of my investments have gone up. Initially, before going down. You can trust me with your money. Maybe you just need a friend who always has a new disgusting YouTube video to show you. Even though I couldn't care less about your opinions and rambling stories, I do appear to be a good listener. I'll even repeat back some of the things you say to seem like I'm taking it all in. Not in the market for a friend, but looking to get off? That's okay, I'll do gay shit. Again, what I lack in experience and ability, I make up for with enthusiasm. As long as you're pretty much clean, negotiable, and don't mind the many skin tags and moles surrounding my rectum, I'm pretty sure we can work something out. So call me, Tim Henson, and let's get to work together! I have to say, my prices are very reasonable, so let me, Tim Henson, be your personal singer, stock trader, confidant, and male prostitute with some weird physical things going on with my butthole. It gives it character. Leave me alone. No two buttholes are alike. They're like snowflakes. Mine just happens to have danglers on them. Okay, before we get into Sextastic Tuesday, a couple pieces of audio. DV listener Kittens emailed me a new Linda Finkel Hall of Fame nominee. Ladies and gentlemen, I'd like to introduce you to Barbara McKay. Ow! This is like a 1980s Linda Finkel Hall of Fame nominee. Takes a while to get to the lyrics here. Hello.
I am better than a machine. I am better than a machine. Hello. Hello. You give your clothes to the laundry. You give your head to your cook. You give your love to your mother. And baby, that ain't no joke.
All right. I don't know what the hell she's singing. I think I just heard... You can give your clothes to the laundry, you can give your head to Coke, you can give your love to your mother, and baby, that's no joke.
You can give your heart to your music, and if you ain't too blind to see, they sure know how to use it, baby, so give your dick to me. Ow! Give your dick to me, give it to me. Ow! Give your dick to me, give it to me.
You haven't guessed, the name of this song is Give Your Dick to Me.
Hello.
Hello. I'm surprised by the piano work in this song. Whoever's on the piano is really giving it his or her all for a dumb song.
Give your dick to me. Give it to me.
I like that chorus. Give your dick to me. Give it to me.
Hello. When you're just a middle-aged musician, you may think this is all a big bore. But when you do it in all them positions, baby, baby, you open my doors. Well, you better hurry up or you'll lose it. Then we'll used to be 103. But you sure know how to use it now. So give your dick to me. Ow! Give your dick to me.
Give it to me. All right, let's get into Sextastic Tuesday. Now, this is a dumb bit where I try to find poorly written, weird, or disgusting sex stories from the internet. You know, a lot of people think they can write erotica. It's harder than it looks, apparently. The stories I feature on Distorted View, though, these aren't just bad. These are the worst of the worst. Now, today's classic edition of Sextastic Tuesday originally aired on August 21st, 2007. And it involves the sex fantasies of a schizophrenic woman. Let's get into today's story right now.
It's Sextastic.
All right, here we go. It's been an entire week since Grace had stopped taking her medication. The first rush of her natural-born excessive brain chemicals had been the clearest, juiciest wakening to who she really was. Juiciest wakening. This story's already stupid. Tune out now, freaks. Don't bother. She didn't ever want to take her pills again. It had all flooded back in glorious technicolor, the real world. The world that people had been pretending out of existence. She was now herself again, the only awkwardness being the voice inside her head. It's kind of a big deal, actually. Especially when those voices tell you to kill people. It was such odd company to have inside her head. She knew it was something special. She knew that she was someone special, too. Looking at, yeah, a complete nut job. Looking at herself in the mirror inside of her dowdy government flat, she could see, oh, this takes place in England. Which, you know, when it takes place in England, it makes it less porny and more
like a work of literature. You know what I mean?
It adds a bit of class. That's all I'm saying. I don't know what the hell I'm talking about. She could see the electrics sparking around her beautiful white face, her dark long curls hanging over her painted luscious red lips. Wow, she's really slutting herself up, isn't she? And the muse's madness burning out of her large, dark brown eyes. She'd been outside in the human's fantasy world that night.
What?
And hadn't gotten attacked by them. She was too clever for that! She had managed to get two bottles of red wine and was excited by the warm glow burning in her belly. Giggling, she heard the voice talking in her head again, this time in a soft female voice.
Grace, you've been such a good girl.
Grace giggled again, and then she realized...
Mother? Mother, is that you? Yes, baby.
The soft, lilting voice replied.
Where are you?
Grace asked the voice inside her head. All was silent. Grace looked around the room confused and excited to meet her mother again. Not that faker, violent bitch who used to pretend to be her real mother. No! She remembered from the time that she was first unwell. Her real mother was a goddess. Finally, her searching eyes flew to the bookcase, and there she saw her real mother. Hillary Clinton. Oh, it was all so obvious now. You know there's going to be some lesbian action. If Hillary Clinton is involved, there's going to be some pussy eating. That big old dyke. Grace skipped to the shelf, her heart and stomach giddy at the prospect of meeting the real goddess mother. Hillary Clinton as a goddess. Pulling out the book that must have been left in the bookshop months ago, especially for her, she saw her mother wink at her from the front cover.
I'm here, honey,
her mother's voice whispered warmly to her. Sitting cross-legged on the floor, her gray miniskirt riding up her legs, Grace messily sipped on her current glass of red wine, blood-red droplets splashing onto her beautifully cute blouse-covered breasts. Absent-mindedly rubbing at the stains as she gazed upon her mother, she found that her nipples were becoming rock-hard. She hadn't felt horny in 6 months, thanks to those freaky pills. But Mrs. Androtic, what about those freaky chromosomes? And aren't scientists still out on chromosome breakage anyways? Wow, there's an obscure Distorted View reference for you. All right.
Read me, dear,
said the mother's soft, sweet voice.
I'm waiting for you, sugar.
With a thrill, Grace opened the book randomly, tears of happiness stinging her insane eyes. But she could not read it. Her mother's words were beautiful on the page, all written for her. She couldn't read, but she wanted her. What the fuck? She wanted her goddess mom so much. Flicking through the pages, she picked out random words.
I want you intercourse now.
As if, did Hillary Clinton use the word intercourse in any of her books? Yipping in delight, Grace stood up, reaching under her miniskirt and sliding her panties over her round ass and shaven vagina, letting them slip down to her bare little feet where she stood out of them. Dripping down to the floor, a drop of vaginal juices dripping the carpet. She rubbed herself upon the pages of her mother's book. I love that. Her pussy is so wet. It's like foaming, dripping on the floor. Oh, yes, baby, her mother's voice spoke. I know you love to rub up against mommy. Mommy, Grace cried, half moaning, half speaking. Pages tearing and getting dribbly wet, Grace wanted more. She wanted her mother inside of her. Kneeling up and ripping the pages out, she rolled the pages into a tube, nice and firm and erect. Body! I don't know what that means. A crazed electronic voice garbled to her. This time, not inside her head, but outside. It must be her father. Yes, of course. Crazy. Cuckoo. Looking around wildly for something to help her dad, she saw the family-sized tub of Vaseline she had bought on a whim. Now, she knew it was no whim at all. Her daddy made her buy it. Mm-hmm. Plastering the Vaseline over the roll of paper, she moved it to her ass as she got up on her hands and knees. Come on, honey, open up for your dad, her mother spoke to her inside her head.
Yes, mommy,
Grace cried as she released her sphincter muscles and pushed her mother's writing gently into her anus, her clit suddenly standing straight up at attention. She's got a boner. Once it was sticking out firmly in wild lust, Grace ripped the rest of the book, forming it into another bigger roll of her mother. Whacking as much Vaseline as she could onto her frenzied state, she knelt up on the floor and pushed it inside her dripping lips, moaning in wild pleasure. Feeling love for her mother as she filled her all the way up. I hope this wasn't a library book, because She's going to have to pay for that. Grace slid her mother in and out and feeling hard, obscene pain from her father as the tail of the paper in her ass bashed against the floor. Well, I don't understand. Who's the father and who's the mother? I thought the mother was the book. Who's the father? Maybe some of the pages are the father going in her ass and the mother's going in her cunt? I don't know. You're such a good girl, Grace. I want you to come all over me, honey, said her mother as Grace rammed the tube of paper faster and faster into her pussy, screaming in erotic ecstasy.
Yes, Mommy!
Grace cried as she released her spirit, shaking in a wave of orgasmic delight, her cum flooding down the inside of the roll of paper and covering the carpet in front of her.
Don't stop, dear. We're nearly there,
urged her mother inside her head. Grace knew not what to do. She'd already come so hard, and her mother wanted more. She kept fucking and fucking her mother for minutes that seemed like hours until finally tears of exhaustion came from Grace's eyes. Her mother said to her,
well done, baby. I am flesh once more.
Confused and collapsing, exhausted to the floor, Grace pulled her father out of her ass and slid her mother out of her vagina. Oh, see, I was right. Well, there. The story finally makes sense. And through the pungent smell of juices and shit, she realized the ink had come off her mother's fat dick.
I am inside you now, said her mother evilly.
And it was at that point Grace realized she had ingested her mother's immortal soul. This could be a movie, I think. Terrified, she went to the medicine cabinet and took her medication. Several days later, Grace was back to her normal dosed self, reading up on Bill and Hillary Clinton out of a new strange interest. She is as normal as anyone else these days and keeps her brain chemicals at an okay level with her antipsychotic pills. Yet, at the very back of her mind, she knows she has Hillary Clinton's soul inside of her. And she fucks everything ever written against her, trying to get her out. It keeps life interesting. Well, at least it has a happy ending. That's your Sextastic Tuesday for March 31st, 2015, brought to you by our amazing friends at AdamandEve.com. Don't forget coupon code FREAK every time you shop there. At Adam and Eve, you can find over 20,000 adult products, movies, you know, sexy movies, lingerie, toys, lubricants, costumes, light S&M gear. Pick out something you like. Use coupon code FREAK at checkout. You'll receive 10 free gifts. What are those 10 free gifts? We'll start with 6 free full-length adult movies, plus a special gift for her, a gift for him, and something you can both enjoy. That's 9 gifts right there. What's free gift number 10? Free shipping on your entire order. Go to AdamandEve.com right now. Use coupon code FREAK. Get 10 free gifts, including free shipping, at AdamandEve.com. All right, and with that, let's get into the crazy, bizarre, twisted, up, fucked up news right now. Not a member of the Sideshow, sign up right now. We've got an extended program for you today, an exclusive program for you tomorrow, and on Friday, another exclusive show. Sign up, superfreaksideshow.com. That's the web address. Get full access to the entire archive of programs, plus bonus material throughout the week. It's only $6.99 a month, or $66.99 a year. Quarterly and semi-annual memberships are also available. Go to superfreaksideshow.com right now. Sign up so you don't miss a thing. Superfreaksideshow.com. All right, 3 quick stories, and then we will get the hell out of here. At the Temple of Priapus, or Priapus, all church members worship members. Dicks! We're talking about cock and balls here. It's a prerequisite. The pagan temple began in San Francisco, Natch, in the 1970s as a tribute to Priapus, a Greek god of fertility, and he just happened to be the son of Aphrodite. Since then, temples have opened in other cities, including Montreal. That's where David Francis Cassidy has served as temple pontifex since the early 1990s. The Montreal Temple and its members are featured in The Dickumentary, a documentary rolling out today, as a matter of fact, on video on demand and DVD. Quote, cultures have worshipped it and circumcised it, the film's Facebook page explains. Men have sought ways to make it larger. Lord knows I have. Across 14 countries, featuring interviews with more than 40 experts, the Dickumentary tries to answer some of the greatest questions of our time, like, what happened to Jesus' foreskin? I never really thought about that. That's never been a burning question to me. I've actually never heard anyone question that. I wonder what happened with Jesus. It was probably thrown away. Was Jesus circumcised? Was that a thing even back then? Why do Hindus worship Shiva's phallus in decisive really matter? According to the Montreal Temple's Not Safe for Work website, the church says the male sex organ is holy and that at least 4 hours a week should be devoted to masturbation or assisting others towards that goal. The temple's website is explicit about the sexual nature of the group. Prospective members must participate in an interview process where they submit to sexual desires of church elders. What? It's part of the initiation process. You have to get molested by a bunch of old men. All right. Cassidy tells the filmmakers, the temple is a gathering place for us to express our sexuality. All right, so it's like a bathhouse? The temple is a place for us to feel free and uninhibited, to explore ourselves, learn about ourselves, to grow with ourselves, and to become ourselves. Only men now belong to the church, but the temple would welcome female worshipers. Cassidy was an original member of the San Francisco church and became pontifex of the Montreal chapter in the early 90s. The organization holds services on the first Monday of every month. That sweet, sweet relief comes at least once a month. Cassidy does this thing in front of the altar with the candles and the incense, and then we stand there naked and we're praying for whatever, he said in the film. And then after that, we just do whatever we feel like doing. It's probably sex. Weird sex stuff. That's all according to Ray Batson, a member of the church. The altar where the service takes place is filled with phalluses of different sizes and from different points of history. We try and have the old and the new together in the service of the God we worship, said Cassidy. I believe we have some audio from a recent sermon at the First Baptist Church of Dick, or whatever the hell this church is called.
Hail the mighty cock. Fuck yes. Worship cock. Fucking cock is God. Yes. Oh, Jesus Christ. Yes. Fucking worship. Fucking worship. Hail cock. Hail cock. Cock is God. Yes. Oh, yes.
All right, second story we have for you today. This one comes from Northeast Ohio, near the birthplace of yours truly. A Canton woman is accused of stabbing her boyfriend because, he ate all of their salsa. Seems like a rational move there. Phyllis D. Jefferson, 50. Well, we're moving on now. Because her last name is Jefferson, and she's black. To be honest, I'll use any excuse to play, television theme songs on the show. Okay, that's quite enough. Thank you. Hard to talk over that. All right, so yes, this crazy broad stabbed her boyfriend because he ate all of their salsa. Phyllis D. Jefferson, 50, is charged with felonious assault, a second-degree felony, and a misdemeanor count of criminal damaging. She's scheduled for appearance Monday in Akron Municipal Court. No, no. Bad Jefferson, stop it. Thank you. Jefferson complained about 5:30 p.m. to her 61-year-old boyfriend that he was eating all of their fucking salsa, and it was annoying. She yelled and jammed a pen. She stabbed him with a pen. Okay, I thought it was with a fucking knife. No, she yelled and then jammed a pen into the left side of the man's pelvis. Oh, that's a low blow, literally. She then knocked over his TV. The man jumped up and caught the TV before it hit the ground. This is a man who was just stabbed in the pelvis. This man is in excruciating pain, yet he was able to save the TV. While the man was catching the TV, Jefferson grabbed a small kitchen knife. Oh, okay, so he was stabbed with a knife. She stabbed the man in the left side of his stomach, according to police. Jefferson drove away, but police eventually caught up with her on Interstate 77. So he was stabbed in the pelvis, got a pen sticking out of his pelvis, and then he was stabbed in the stomach. Akron police found, and he's holding a TV to boot. Akron police found the man holding his stomach outside his apartment in the 100 block of Lake Street. The man's shirt and hands were covered in blood? How do you know it was blood? It could have been salsa. It could have tipped over the jar. I guess blood isn't as chunky as salsa. He was taken to Akron General Medical Center for treatment. Jefferson admitted to detectives that she stabbed the man, said police reports. So, there you go. And finally today, freaks, let's talk about neon tampons. Isn't that the name of a band? Scientists. I knew scientists were behind this. Shouldn't they be working on cancer and shit? Let's make a tampon, but make it neon. Yes. Are scientists like Google employees? You know, Google employees have that thing where 10% of their day they can work on, you know, whatever type of project they want to. This might be one of scientists' 10% projects. Kind of seems like a waste of time, though. All right, scientists are going to use tampons to sort out a pretty gross plumbing problem that's badly affecting the environment in the UK. The problem is that, according to the Department for Environment, Food, and Rural Affairs, 5% of home toilets flush out into the sewers and lakes. So everything that goes in there, sewage, shit, piss, vomit, cocaine, whatever, anything that's flushed down the toilet ends up in the river. That's poop floating in, you know, whatever the closest river is to your toilet. It results in only 17% of the UK's rivers being in good health. The solution? Finding out where the faulty plumbing lies. To do this, scientists are going to dye tampons so that they glow in the dark and flush them down suspected faulty toilets. Then, other scientists are going to watch at the river locations where sewage has been spotted to work out which toilets have got the grossest plumbing systems. Professor David Lerner, who works in environmental engineering at the University of Sheffield, said, "Sewage in the rivers is very unpleasant, very widespread, and difficult to track down. Our new method may be unconventional, but it's cheap and it works."
The vaginal passage, the middle opening, is where you place the end of the applicator.
All this time I've been plugging up my urethra!
Angling it toward the small of your back. Gently insert the outer tube up to the first grooved ring.
Grooved wing? I've seen women, like, in videos and stuff, just jamming tampons up their crotch and pulling out the applicator. It's like, press a button or something, and it goes up there, and then you pull it out. I don't understand. This seems way too complex.
As you push the inner tube into the outer tube, the vaginal passage expands to accommodate the tampon as it glides easily into the right position.
Easier said than done. I actually found a video here from, I think this is Children's Hospital in Boston, and it's a video entitled How to Insert a Tampon. And the first part is a dramatic reenactment of a girl needing to insert a tampon. You can see on her cell phone that this girl's trying to call her mother.
Oh, why do you have to be at work right now?
I'm having a pussy emergency! Well, looking at a tampon and reading the instructions. Confused.
Hey, these directions make no sense, and the pool party's today at 6. How am I gonna do this?
You're freaking out over a pool party?
You better be careful. You do know you can get stuck up there.
So she gets online and does a Google search for how to insert a tampon. The first hit was Pornhub, obviously.
Wait, if you're nervous, it makes it harder to put it in?
Gotta loosen that hole, honey.
What am I gonna do? I don't know how to do this. Honestly, there should be a tampon fairy for all of this.
Do you know how ridiculous that sounds? Tampon fairy.
So hello? Could you please open up?
She slammed her MacBook shut. And she heard a voice. And who's this?
Who are you?
I'm Dr. Haynes. I'm not the tampon fairy, but I am a gynecologist, and I'm here to tell you that it's perfectly normal to feel nervous the first time you use a tampon.
I'm gonna help you insert your tampon. It would be really weird if, like, like it was a guy. Come on, hey, can you open your laptop up? I want to talk to you.
I'm going to show you how to insert a tampon. Go ahead, honey. Pull down your pants. Spread open your labia so we can see that hole.
You've probably heard some scary things about tampons.
A lot of late-night stories around the campfire start off, "It was a dark and stormy tampon." The tale of the haunted tampon!
First, it would be helpful if we reviewed the female anatomy. Every woman has three openings.
Is that a nectarine? What am I looking at?
The urethra, the vagina, and the anus.
Oh.
This is the urethra. It's where your urine or pee leaves your body. This is your anus.
This is the hole you can charge the most for. All right, let's hear the doctor say this is your anus again. This is your anus!
This is your anus. And in between your urethra and your anus is your vaginal opening.
So it's the middle hole. I always get confused about that.
This is where you will insert the tampon. The vagina has muscles that will hold the tampon in place. The tampon can't get lost, nor can it fall out. Just below the vaginal opening is the hymen.
Yeah, if it can't get lost, why the fuck is there a string hanging, out of your body?
Some people are concerned that using tampons changes your hymen. This is not true. You are a virgin until you have sexual intercourse.
Don't have to worry about that.
I feel better, but I'm still worried it will hurt and I won't be able to get the tampon in.
Man the fuck up, bitch, if you want to go to that pool party. All right, enough of this. Let's get into voicemails and call it a day. All right, before we get into the voicemails, I got an email from DV Listener, hashtag Hot Wings, with some investing advice, for my stock portfolio. He says a good distorted view pick would be Dr. Pepper / Snapple. Aside from the obvious reasons for this choice, I'm a big, huge soda nerd. It's beating its bigger brothers, Coke and Pepsi, by about 200% year over year. Well, the second I get some free cash, I will be investing in Dr. Pepper / Snapple. He also gave me some other hot stock tips, but these stock tips came with a catch. I need to help him. He says, the company I work for has this bullshit community outreach program where we take the never-getting-a-job-level retards from the local high school, and they come volunteer to get work and life experience. Naturally, due to my awesome fucking luck, I'm the sorry motherfucker who has to deal with these incredibly shit-for-brain kids for 4 hours a week until they graduate, a term I'll use incredibly fucking loosely. We're 2 weeks into this awesomely fucking terrible program, and everyone at the office thinks it's fan-fucking-tastic since they don't have to deal with the fucktards. Everything these kids touch, they gets fucked up. They can't do anything correctly. I started out, see, this was going to be my suggestion, because he wants to know, what the hell do I do with the retards, right? I would have suggested, all right, you got to give them easy tasks that they can't screw up. Have them take out the trash, stuff like that. Well, that's what this guy started to do. I started out having them take out the trash, clean the restrooms, all the shit no one else in the building wants to do. It's a great idea on paper. The problem is, even the most simplistic, mundane, painfully easy tasks, they fuck up, causing more work for me on top of the punishment of dealing with them in the first place. So the question, what should I have them do? They can't do any real work, half of them can't form a full sentence, and the other half are too busy drooling on the, down the front of themselves, fingering their Boston cream pie donuts they got on the van bus on the ride in. All right. Everyone thinks I'm an evil person because I hate these fucking retards and their geriatric and equally as fucking useless supervisor. You and the freaks gotta come up with something for me before I fucking steamroll over these kids in the parking lot. Making the world a better place for all. All right. Freaks, I'm gonna need your assistance here. I don't know what these retards could do that wouldn't make more work for our poor listener here, our friend, hashtag Hot Wings. I was thinking, like, can they count at least? Because if they can read numbers, you could have them be, like, gophers. I don't know how large your company is, but you could give them a package or an envelope or papers that need to be delivered, right? And you say, deliver this package to room 123. Like, the worst they could do is deliver it to the wrong room or office, right? And someone will catch their mistake. It seems like intellectually it might take more brain power than cleaning toilets. But, if they screw that up, if they screw up cleaning the toilets, you've got to deal with it. So, for instance, if one of these retards sees a shiny turd in the toilet, wants to pick it up and play with it and use the turd as lipstick or something, or write with the turd on the wall, which is a real possibility, you'll end up having to clean up the mess. There's no feces involved with delivering a package. But I don't know if they can handle something like that. Freaks, I will throw it over to you. What do you think these idiot children can do that won't get them into any trouble? All right, and with that, let's do a couple voicemails now.
Jagu, Tim, Sideshow Listener, KY, the sentient bottle of lube.
Yes.
A bit of a long name. I might change it. Anyway, just a quick story for you. I work in a grocery store, and one of the tasks that I have to do is sort, empty beer bottles.
Yeah.
And, in a way, you could say that I sort glass, and...
That's something the retards could do. Send them over to KY's job.
Job is hard. It's pretty hard, but now I know it by heart. And anyway, that one time I find a lot of disgusting shit in those bottles.
Really?
But recently, I found something. I'm pretty sure it was basically period blood. It was disgusting. I mean, it was red, it was liquid, and,
maybe it was used as a makeshift tampon. You know, you just shoved the beer bottle up there, let it bleed in. It
smelled like period blood. I smelled it before.
You smelled it, of course.
And that's the most disgusting.
Because if you run across anything questionable, the first thing you think to do is sniff
it. I ever found. So,
well, thank you.
Yeah, just wanted to share that with you.
For that unsolicited story, okay?
Timothy Boomequa Henson, listen, I really don't want to be a racist, but you keep playing audio like on the 312 show, the Sideshow exclusive, where the black guy's just being so TMD to the fucking cop, the other gamer. And I walk away really liking blacks.
I feature the worst of the worst when it comes to humanity. So it's not blacks. It's like the worst blacks. It's like the white people. I feature the worst white people. There just happens to be more awful black people out there. Is that racist?
Hey, Tim. Long-time listener, Sideshow member, Shagagnian.
Good name.
Listen to the March 9th episode. Patrick Mitchell called in to the voicemail one. I think you're probably going to have to go and fuck him, or he might end up just killing you. I think you may have a stalker.
You think I'm in too deep? I just got to, finish the deed?
On your hands. So you might want to get onto that.
So I've got a stalker on my hands. Great.
Hey, you've been posted.
Just my luck. That's the type of stalker I get. He's elderly, he's got a shitty asshole, and he also has a hernia that he has to constantly pop out or pop in.
Hey, you've been posting your shows on time lately, I've been noticing, and I gotta be honest, I'm a little concerned. I wanna know, what's going on, Tim? Are you on the pot?
I don't know what you're talking about. I'm posting the show so late, you're probably getting it the next day early in the morning. So, you think that it's on time, when actually I'm an entire day late.
Where garage is weird,
You're just a moron that doesn't know the actual date.
Timmy Boo, Sideshow Freak LeBaron here.
Hi, LeBaron.
Okay, so I haven't been listening for a while.
Ouch.
For a couple
Ouch.
Months. Don't shoot me. Do you know why? I moved. I'm living with some fucking furries.
Wait a second. You're living with... It's a group furry house? Okay. I might need to interview you.
And I've been listening...
Your whole house. A video tour of that house.
To the archives. I've been listening to the archives. And I just gotta say, it is the most pleasurable thing, listening to you grow day by day.
Hey, I'm doing this new thing, and I think I've only done it on the Sideshow exclusive programs, but I'm sure... Eventually, I'll start doing it on the free side here once in a while. I go back at the beginning of the show, before we actually start anything, I go back and we see what was happening on Distorted View 10 years ago today. And I think
a couple days ago. It was a Sideshow exclusive program. And 10 years ago, to the day, I think, it may have been a day or two off, the very first skank phone call, which was my Skype prank phone call where I pretended to be a 13 or 14 year old girl. So it's weird. I can go back and literally see what we were doing 10 years ago to the day. Some episodes, like the one today, I didn't want to do it. I look back at the episode, and it was just a real bare-bone show. You know, if you ever think Distorted View doesn't grow or evolve, go back and listen to some of those first programs. They were like 8 minutes long, and we go right into the news. There's no video or audio. I mean, I guess I did it once in a while, but really, the basic gist of the show was intro, and then me do some voicemails, and then I read like one or two emails, and that was it. The show is so much bigger than it was before.
I am amused by you. I'm in mid 07 right now, and I gotta say, for a late 06, early 07, there's some really big stuff that goes down, like, you know, like this, like Haley's Comet for his first call.
Oh, really?
And Sean's first call. There's so many, like, you know.
That was a good year for DV.
Sort of viewism. The Jagoon noise. The Jagoon noise. I heard the first playing of the Jagoon noise.
Yeah.
Memories.
Yeah, it's
memories.
Fun to go through the archives. I mean, I go back and listen to shows occasionally, especially when I'm trying to find something. That first year, though, once you get through that first year, things start to get better. But it's, you know, I urge you all to listen to it because there is some good stuff there. But it's, Distorted View was really in its infancy there. All right, that is all the time we have on this edition of the show. Is that it? Did I play all the voicemails?
Timmy Boo, Sideshow Freak, LeBaron.
Yeah, that's it. All right, I want you guys to email me, show@distortedview.com. Distortedview.com is our official website. Voicemail line for you, 206-666-4463. That's 206-660-GOD. Is it
God? Fucking cock is God, yes.
Spread the distortion. Tell all your friends about the podcast. Don't forget to rate us and review us on iTunes. If you're Sideshow Freak, stick around for extended content. And don't forget, tomorrow we have an exclusive show just for paying members. Great time to sign up for the Sideshow at superfreaksideshow.com. Otherwise, I'll see you back on Thursday. Until then, have a great day. Bye, everybody.
Shut the fuck up. Oh, fuck. You fucking suck.